Thank you for tuning in to the Business and Marketing Podcast. This is Nathan Neal. Today's show is brought to you courtesy of Neal Consultants. You can visit them online at neilint.com. Today I have the privilege of talking to William Warren, the founder and CEO of Emmanuel Technology Consultants. Tell me a little bit about your business's background.
I got tired of the big companies doing things the way they did them. So I decided, I've been doing this. That's 2000 now. I've been doing this since I was basically 10. I started taking things apart, and much to my parents' chagrin, not always putting them back together. And now I've gotten to the point where, of course, I can fix them. And, I found out a long time ago that there are a lot of people out there that don't care about their employees and don't care about their customers and really don't know a whole lot anyway. So I just started my own business, and I started the first one I started was Emmanuel Computer Consulting, and that was back in 2002. And I had that going for a while. And then, of course, the internet really took off, and I was at a trade show, and I had a bunch of people walking by my desk, and they weren't even giving me a time of day, and I couldn't figure out why. So I took all of my livery off, put a regular shirt on, blended in with the crowd, and walked by my desk as just somebody who's a regular thing. And the thing I heard over and over again was, he only works on computers. So it took me 5 minutes to change the name of the company. Actually, to shut down Emmanuel Computer Consulting, start up Emmanuel Technology Consulting, but it took 6 months to process the paperwork through the state of Maryland.
And Isn't it funny? So this is a business and marketing podcast. So your approach at that trade show was, hey, I'm going to blend in with everybody else and find out what they're talking about my stand. Maybe I have a brand problem.
And it turns out that I did.
That's awesome.
So it's been Emmanuel Technology Consulting ever since. And that also gives me enormous flexibility because technology changes. And so, the biggest thing I found is my market focus is the micro business, mom and pop shops, or even smaller, run them out of your house. Normally no more than 15. I have one exception to that. And so then I've always applied that focus on any product that I offer. And when it came to web hosting, I was like, well, what really started me down the web hosting path was I was on GoDaddy for a while. And I released a story that got picked up by Leo Laporte on Twit. And I got stampeded. And GoDaddy's response was to shut down my account because I was too popular. I was violating their terms of service. I was using too much CPU time, too much memory, yada, yada, yada. And I said, well, that's garbage. So then I started working on building my own hosting platform for really small companies that doesn't have the, mega constraints that the big boys do. Like, I don't try to pack 1,000 people on one server. I just make sure that I watch my metrics. And if someone starts getting really popular, I won't shut them down. I'll reach out to them and go, hey, you know what? You're getting too big for shared hosting, but we can get you a dedicated server all by yourself. And I've got a couple of those now, and they've migrated from my shared hosting. They went all the way up to the top of the tiers. And the thing is, my dedicated hosting has much of the same features of my shared hosting. So you don't get less. You just get your own machine. So, and it's worked out well. And I try to focus on, so I don't have everything mega automated. I do a lot by hand, mainly so I can maintain my customer focus.
So you're kind of a white glove solution provider.
Pretty much, yeah.
So my question is, and I'm going to break this down into some smaller questions. I'm familiar with web hosting. You know that I'm familiar with your service offering. But for those listening that have a website out there, how can they be confident that their website's actually being backed up? Or if they're on GoDaddy, is it possible that they're not being backed up? Or any of the big names, I guess. We don't need to single out GoDaddy.
Yeah,
but I mean, you have Bluehost and all the other guys.
I single out GoDaddy because they're the biggest source of revenue for me. 9 times out of 10, I'll have someone locally that I'm working on. And, they'll bring up, man, our website's just terribly slow. First question I ask, who's your web host? Next answer is normally GoDaddy. And I'm like, really? And then I tell them about my service, and it usually leads to them coming to me. How can you be sure your site's backed up? On GoDaddy, unless it specifically says you are, you aren't. And on the other ones, I don't know. Most of the big ones do not offer, on their base level accounts, do not offer backups at all. Or if they do offer backups, like, hey, we backed up your site. But the backup is on your account. So if your website gets compromised and they decide to delete all your data, which happens, guess what gets deleted as well? Your backups. That's not a backup. That's a fake backup.
They're using your own account to back up your own stuff. Well, in our last interview that we had did, it was with Michael Banks of LaunchUX, and he was talking about how important page speed is for SEO and, mm-hmm. you know, how web hosting really impacts that. So, you know, if you're, from what you're saying here, if you're hosting on one of these large shared environments, that fits right into what Michael's saying, where that performance hurts your overall results within Google and how people look at your business.
Yeah, I mean, as your site gets popular, GoDaddy starts putting the screws on you, and the big boys do that too. As I said, I'm not saying GoDaddy's a bad host. I'm saying they have some weaknesses that their business model doesn't allow them to fix. It's not that they're a bad company. It's not that they're a bad host. I'm not bashing GoDaddy. I'm just saying, here's what it is. But you also need a web host that knows how to read your site code. I may not be able to program it, but I can look at what's going on and find the problems. Like, I've had a couple of my clients go, hey, you know, GT Metrics says our server speed is slow. And then they give the URLs on their Google Font APIs. I can't do anything about that. That's a third-party link that's slowing your site down. So you have to be able to look at the metrics and say, is it actually the server host or is it a third party? There's a site,
yep.
And their site literally takes 3 seconds or more to load. And I finally went in there and started messing with it. And I went, oh, this is what it is. So I turned a certain module of their site off. And now their site loads like lightning. And it's that they go out and fetch thumbnails of like 5 different YouTube videos. So you've got to wait for YouTube to send that information back, which takes about 3 seconds. It destroys their SEO, but they want the YouTube videos. You can't have it both ways.
Right. And there are ways that you can actually go around that with SEO to like defer JavaScript loading and to defer the other things till the end. But a lot of people just, you know, kind of shoehorn videos or whatever they want into their site, wherever they want to put it, and don't realize those larger implications.
Right. And a lot of the larger web hosts right now, here's something that's getting really, really important. They do not give you IPv6. Google will murder you if you do not have IPv6. Every account, from my smallest to my dedicated servers, gets IPv6 enabled.
So what's the difference with IPv6 and why should people be concerned with it?
Well, IPv4 is only, that's in air quotes, 4 billion addresses. We're way beyond that in terms of every watch, every phone, every computer, every mobile device. We're way beyond 4 billion devices. IPv6, basically, there's more IPv6 addresses available than there are grains of sand on the earth or possibly even stars in the known universe. So it's just a massive expansion of the address space. So there's really no reason to not have IPv6. And to be honest, if my little one-person self can go, oh, IPv6, and click a button and turn it on, I personally don't understand why. And here's the biggest offender, Wix. They have stated on their site they do not support IPv6 and do not intend to support it in the near future. Why?
Well, Wix isn't like WordPress either, so you're reliant on, if you have a Wix site, you have to rely on Wix hosting. You can't mm-hmm. host the Wix site on, you can't host the Wix site, William, but I don't think anybody else can either.
No. But I mean, like GoDaddy, I haven't seen them offering IPv6. Bluehost, no. I haven't seen them. DreamHost, I haven't seen them. Why?
But when there's we're talking no websites, reason
not to.
You know, my one thing with Wix is that you never really own your website. You're basically leasing a page.
Yeah, but I mean, why? There's no reason not to.
That's what doesn't make any sense. And see, that's what I really like about your offering is you go above and beyond. So instead of just saying, hey, this is a place to set your website, you're giving people backups. You're giving people the IPv6. And I want you to talk a little bit about security. I'm sure you saw where like FireEye, that large security consultant had a breach. And there's just been massive breaches going back. I mean, I've written books about it, you know, but it seems like I never have any shortage of content to talk about data breaches. So you want to talk to me a little bit about your security and how you would kind of approach that?
Well, the best way that I do it is I call it ransomware resistant web hosting. And it's just how I have everything designed. And the biggest thing is each account. See, there's been, and it's on my blog too. So you can get there. If you search ransomware or web hosting, you'll see it. Where there's web hosts where they have leveraged one person's shared web hosting account to take over the entire server. The problem there is they didn't isolate the accounts from each other. That's an issue. Because if you can compromise one person shared hosting account, which unfortunately with WordPress, if you don't keep it updated, becomes exceptionally easy, then they can start encrypting accounts on the entire server. I specifically have a system set up that isolates every account from each other. And I've had a couple of clients' web hosting accounts through WordPress get compromised because they didn't have someone managing them. They had like an old plugin. That's the usual attack vector, is a plugin. They compromised the website. And then I watched them try to jump out of that little container. It didn't work. I deleted the account, restored it from a backup. And then obviously it was chargeable because they weren't on my fully managed hosting. I cleaned up the site, fixed the vulnerabilities, and then, you know, I put them back along track and said, now, from now on, if a plugin expires, you need to make sure you turn it off. So that's the first thing I do. Everybody has account isolation. Everybody gets a multi-level 14-day? Yeah, 14-day backup. And what that is there's a backup that runs once a day to another machine in the data center. And that's a 24-hour backup. So if something happens, or we've had this happen before, if a web designer blows up the site, I can it's like, okay, you've only lost a few hours. I can grab you off the local backup. Then there's an outsourced, outside, offsite backup that runs every day as well. And that's the other 13 days. So as long as we catch a problem, and I say we, because I try to help my clients monitor their sites to a degree. Again, the only one where I give them full white glove service is the fully managed tier, which is the top tier. But I'll try to help them. But as long as you find the breach before the 14th day, I can at least get your site back online. And if it's still compromised, then, you know, I can try to help you clean it up. But the faster you find it, then the more opportunities I have to go back to try to do it. I've had to run 4 or 5 restores for clients before because I had to keep going back and back and back. And we caught it soon enough where we could restore the site before it got compromised. The vulnerability was still there, but the bad guys weren't running around in it. And then we were able to get it cleaned up and then, you know, move forward. That's the biggest thing, is I try to do everything that I can to give them as much, you know, extra security as I can for the price. And my prices are extremely competitive. Also, I only host WordPress. I don't do static sites. So with WordPress, I hand set it up and then I make sure to install a security plugin called WordFence. Great program. That's why I install it everywhere. And then the higher tiers get some more goodies. And then if I may say one more thing, I don't want to take over the whole show.
Go ahead. You're fine.
My enhanced version and the standard versions are the ones that I have geared toward web developers. That's what I've built this platform for. What I want to do is I want to give web developers the tools that they need, because like Divi is one of the most popular site design softwares on the planet. If you sign up for my enhanced service, I give you an unlimited Divi license for that site. I've already paid for it. I give it to the web developer so they don't have to worry about it. I also use another one called Customizer Pro. That's another one. Standard and Enhanced get both. Well, Standard gets the Customizer Pro. Enhanced gets the Customizer Pro and the Divi Site Builder. As I said, that's included as part of the package. And I do that because I want web developers who are like, all we want to do is build websites, but we want a good web host that gives us security and tools. And I give you the tools right there. Those are the two biggest tools that I give to anyone, but it's specifically geared toward web developers.
So we're talking on the Business and Marketing Podcast here. And William, you brought up a lot of good points, and you seem to have a lot of additional offerings for your hosting services, you know, compared to like some of the other big guys like GoDaddy, Bluehost, Network Solutions. But I got to ask you, this has to be more expensive than what they're charging. What are your price points looking like?
Right now, my micro, which is really my most popular, because you know I actually do have a couple of web developers on board, and they're like, hey, we just want the micro. We already have our own licenses. Hey, that's great. It's $80 a year. I only do annuals. I don't do monthlies. That gives you 500 megabytes of storage, account isolation, free word fence, all the standard features, which I'm going to have people go to etc-md.com/hosting to read all the standard features that come with it. It gives you 10 gigs of data transfer. You get two databases. And then, of course, you get the backups and the 14-day archive. That's, quote, my bottom tier. Standard's $105 a year. Same thing as the micro, except you get a gig of storage, 20 gigs of data transfer, five databases, and you get the free Customizer Pro. Enhanced is $150 a year. You get everything with the other two, but you get the Divi Site Builder, 2 gigs of storage, 40 gigs of data transfer, five databases, everything else. Then there's fully managed. That's $400 a year. And I hear a lot of people going, holy crap, that's a lot of money. Ah, but here's the difference. When I say fully managed, I mean fully managed. You design the site as a web developer or as a customer who hires a web developer, I take care of the rest. Free Customizer Pro, the Divi Site Builder, 4 gigs of storage, 120 gigs a month of data transfer. Here's the biggest part. WordFence Premium is considered with this. WordFence Premium does cost me extra, which is why the price is so much higher. But WordFence Premium gives us a lot of abilities. We can country block. Hey, I'm never going to be doing business with anybody outside of the United States. Fence off the rest of the world. They don't need to see it. That's something that we can do. All plugins, themes, and core files are kept up to date by me, one way or another. If a plugin goes out of support, I will automatically disable it, and I will notify either the owner, the web developer, or both. I will give you a monthly site audit and report. You get five databases and the backups. So that's the big thing. You don't have to worry about keeping the software up to date and properly secured and all that. That also includes a cleanup service. If it happens to get compromised, you know, and this is a new site, if you bring a site over, you know, so on and so forth, but then, you know what, I'll take up to 2 hours of my time, which is normally $125 an hour, to try to clean. Unless it's just completely, you know, borked, then I just reload a backup, but that's what the backups are for. So that's what the fully managed does, is you don't have to manage it. All you have to do is give it to the web developer, or if you are the web developer, all you have to do is build the site. I'll work with you to take care of the rest.
Well, actually, it sounds really affordable. I mean, your micro program is $6 and some change a month. So that's right in line with what the other guys are charging, but you get all your backups and everything else. So you're being rather modest.
Okay, well, I mean, yeah, but that's how I look at it. Is now, I already hear this question, and I get it a lot. Well, GoDaddy gives us unlimited data transfer and unlimited disk space. Ah, read the terms of service. When you read the terms of service, yes, it might be unlimited disk storage, but they limit what's called the Linux inodes. And inode is basically a file. So when you read that, they're like, and I don't know what the terms are now, but you know, I first looked at it and went, 125,000 inodes? That's not a lot of space. And a large file can take up more than one inode. I don't care about the inodes. 500 megs of storage, if you want to put, you know, 500,000 little files on there, it doesn't bother me. And then like unlimited transfer. Well, it's unlimited transfer unless they decide you're transferring an excessive amount of data. Then they'll either shut you down or throttle you into non-existence. I have clearly defined limits. You don't have to go read the terms of service to see, well, what does unlimited mean? It's not unlimited. I couldn't do unlimited if I wanted to. I don't have the infrastructure to even offer it. So I'm not going to offer you something that I can't deliver.
And how hard is it to move? So say somebody's listening to this podcast and they're using, you know, GoDaddy, Network Solutions, Bluehost, or any of those other big guys, and want to have a more proactive approach to their web hosting. I mean, the backups alone is an incredible benefit. You know, at Launch UX, we develop a lot of websites, and the number one thing we see or get calls from are people that don't have their websites properly backed up. So with a company like, you know, Williams here that's offering the web hosting that includes the backup, it's a huge value. And so, William, if somebody's with somebody else, how do they transfer their hosting to you?
Actually, there's one more thing that I want to talk about this.
Go ahead.
That's probably even more important than IPv6. And that is, and you can still, I see this on Bluehost and everybody, they're finally starting to come around. From the beginning, I've been doing web hosting now for almost 5 years. And from day one, every single account gets an SSL cert free from Let's Encrypt. Every single account, from micro to fully managed. So not only do you get HTTPS, which Google will bury you if you don't have. As a matter of fact, the browsers now, Google, Firefox, and Safari, have already announced that before too long, if you try to go HTTP, they will not do it.
Oh, that is a huge value, because I'm looking here and GoDaddy can charge $100 or more for that certificate, and you're providing it included in the monthly service fee.
Now, it's a basic one. So, you know, if you want to do e-commerce, I would highly suggest that we buy a higher grade SSL cert. But for basic, yeah, it's free. And by the way, I'll tell you something right now. Do you want to know how much the SSL cert costs me?
Nothing. I think I already know that answer, but go ahead and tell our listeners.
Yeah, nothing. It doesn't cost me a thing. So if you can do basic SSL certs for free, then why won't you give it to your customers? Especially, you know, if small little guy like me, and I'm hoping to be able to grow it.
So going back to my question there, and that's actually a really good point about SSL. We had talked about that in our, our last podcast too. But if somebody wants to transfer to you, how painful is that process?
It depends on where they're coming from.
Okay.
For like, again, GoDaddy, and actually in some places, Bluehost is even worse. They shoehorn plugins in, you know, that you can't get rid of. As soon as you sign up with GoDaddy's web pro, you know, hosting, they put these plugins in and you can't get rid of them. So what has to happen is we have to import the database. That's not normally a problem, but then grabbing the site can be an issue because that plugin wants to come over. So then I may have to spend some time going into the back end and deleting that plugin code. Usually for a basic GoDaddy site, it takes me about an hour to clean out the cruft and get it running. I've had some other hosts that I just can't do it. They modify the code so much, I just can't. And it hasn't happened in about a year now. So hopefully a lot of that proprietary stuff that gets added is finally starting to fall away. But I know GoDaddy still adds it because I've got a client that has me going, you know, my site does this. I'm like, it's a GoDaddy thing. I can't get rid of it. So, yeah.
So if somebody wants to learn more about your pricing and your service offerings, where should they go to learn more?
ETC-MD. It's and for the military types, E as in Echo, T as in Tango, C as in Charlie, amazonmikedsanddog.com. And then you can click on hosting up top. And that's where you'll find my hosting information. I've also got a lot of other stuff. I've got a blog up there where I post topics that I'm like, you know, this is something that I feel folks need to know. And I have a stay malware free section up there that's gotten out of date that I'll be fixing here pretty quick. But it's basic tips and tricks to make sure you don't get infected by malware. And it'll be updated in the next week. So you may want to check that out. And case in point, all of my clients who have followed my staying malware free have not gotten infected. When they get infected, they've broken one of those rules.
That's actually really important now with more people working from home with COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
You got to stay malware free because you're doing work at home on, you know, potentially your own computer, but logging into your business systems. You need to make sure you're not taking malware and passing it along.
And I've had a lot of business here lately with folks calling, you know, businesses calling me going, we want to set up a remote access for our clients. What's the best way to do it? Well, that depends on your workflow and how your systems are set up. But that's the nice thing about technology. You know, there's a whole lot of ways to do things right. And unfortunately, there's a whole lot of ways to do them wrong.
Well, I think that's a good way of summarizing it up. Thanks so much, William, for joining us. Again, that's William Warren from Emmanuel Technology Consultants. And this podcast was brought to you today, a service of Neil Consultants. That's neilint.com.